Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, back here on The Morning Show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Good Wednesday morning. Looks right now like it's going to be okay weather-wise. Are you seeing that too, Logan?
I think there's a chance you're going to see a sprinkle or two later this afternoon, but nothing like it's been these last few days where I basically had to get in my canoe and go home.
Yeah. I know.
It'd be nice to get back in the truck today. Don't have to water ski back to Bethlehem.
We had had some work done. Actually, this was a couple of years ago with bone dry roofing. Just telling you.
Thank
goodness. For times like these.
There's a creek right outside my neighborhood. That creek is not a creek right now. It is a full-on raging river.
Exactly. So,
be nice to have a day off. Might take the dog outside later today.
All right, it's 54 right now. 62 is the expected high today. And maybe a shower. It doesn't like anything major until maybe overnight coming up. All right, time to bring in Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear every Monday through Friday right here from noon to 1. B.A., good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Always a pleasure. Interesting news on the Mel Tucker situation, where it looks like he is gone, leaving Colorado to head to Michigan State. You know, you and Jeff Sintel talk a lot of recruiting, and I do enjoy listening to you guys talk recruiting. In fact, that's where I get my recruiting info from you guys.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah, but what are your thoughts on this? Isn't Mel's fault? I mean, I get it. The timing is bad, but what do you guys think when someone signs with somebody and then all of a sudden the head coach is gone? Do you think they should get a pass on that? Should they be out of their NLI, that national letter of intent?
Yeah, I totally do. Now, listen, I will tell you this, that I used to be, like, greatly in favor of, like, very liberal transfer rules and very open to ways in which players could be released in their letter of intent. Seeing how the transfer portal has been used the last couple of years, I would suggest abuse. I'm not quite so rosy about the portal as I used to be. Now, the flip side of that is people will see what Tucker does here and say, well, that's the real problem in the sport. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. The way in which the Michigan State job came open, I think it's a little bit of a bad look for the Spartans. Tucker taking the job after he initially turned it down, it's obviously an eyebrow-raising situation for a guy that I've always kind of considered to be a class act. I guess the other thing I'll add to this is, I think what this story really shows, and I don't think any of us have a full understanding of just how wide this chasm is, because we don't live in this world each and every day. But there are essentially two conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, that just have gobs and gobs of money and way more than a conference like the Pac-12 can match. So if we look at results on the field, you know, I don't know that Colorado is a worse job than Michigan State, just given the results on the field necessarily. You know, Michigan State's been to play, Colorado hasn't, but you can kind of debate the merits of the actual job. But when you factor in the conference revenue and the money that the SEC just sliced up, the Big Ten, which has its own, pretty flourishing network, you know, their own ability to kind of, divide up money. The Pac-12, and a lot has been written about this, is just not in that same ballpark. So financially, a school like Colorado has no chance of matching the money once Michigan State decides they want to pony up in a desperate situation. That's what happens. So that's the real story here is we've got Power 5 conferences, but all five of them are not playing at the same level.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Although I would say and Michigan State and Colorado both have difficult paths to get to the playoff because Colorado's in the Pac-12 and Michigan State's in a division where you're going to face Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State every single year. So that's tough right there for Michigan State.
Yeah, it's really tough on the field, exactly. But from a financial standpoint, they're at least able to say that they keep up with the Joneses, which more and more often, you know, a lot of these programs it's not able to do anymore.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
All right, BA, last time we talked to you, it was the morning of signing day. We weren't sure how things were going to finish out, but lo and behold, Georgia does finish with the number one class. Now, you may not know this, but if you're driving around Athens right now, you may wind up hearing a promo on 960 The Ref promoting Dog Nation Daily. But I cut a clip of you last week saying that this number one class feels more important or even better to you now than it did in 2018 when Georgia was coming off the 2017 season. Because in the famous words of Kirby Smart after that national championship loss, we ain't going anywhere. And I got you saying that, but now that feels like a little bit more of a reality than a dream. How are your thoughts on this signing class?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for helping tell the story of our show. We love being on 960 The Ref. And second of all, yeah, I do think that in 2018, when Georgia produced the number one class, it was a little bit easier to understand how it might have happened. Georgia had just played for national championship. Frankly, Kirby Smart had a younger, fresher brand than Nick Saban, Alabama, even though the Crimson Tide won the national championship game. I believe that there were some legitimate critics of UGA, though, at the end of this most recent season, whether because of the sputtering offense or because Georgia lost the SEC championship game again or whatever number of reasons you kind of want to point to, there were some, you know, reasons to say, well, gosh, maybe this, program on the rise, this coach on the rise, maybe it's not quite rising as fast as some of us thought. Maybe it's even plateauing just a bit. To be able to respond to those critics, though, by producing the consensus number one class, again, second time in 3 years, and really four consecutive truly elite classes for Georgia, I think for fans, this probably should be celebrated just a little bit more. I think it is a warning sign to the rivals of UGA that would like to think of themselves as nipping at the dog's heels that it ain't going to be as easy as you think to, you know, really match what the dogs are doing and kind of get in there on that. So I think this was a pretty bold statement by Georgia to produce that number one class, especially with these offensive linemen that Georgia held on to late in this process when you had the whole world negative recruiting against UGA because of the absence of Sam Pittman. It just didn't work. This was, I believe, Kirby Smart's finest recruiting work today.
It's funny. That was a week ago today. It feels like it was, I don't know why, to me it feels like it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the news cycle around UGA always spins pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And we kind of put one thing behind us and move on to the next. But it was, I believe, a day worth celebrating. And, you know, listen, we can blame the new recruiting calendar for what felt like a certain lack of drama in that, you know, there weren't a lot of big names left to sort of surprisingly pledge to UGA. And, you know, Georgia had kind of done most of its work already. So that by the time Broderick Jones announced, announced, there was really very little drama associated with those with those moments, which speaks to the work that UGA has already done. I don't love what February signing day's to come. I think you and I and Logan, we've talked about this before, but it was a big day for the Dogs and a really, really nice reminder of just how difficult to deal with UGA plans on being for a long time to come.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, I thought you and Connor had a pretty good conversation. I believe it was on yesterday's Dog Nation Daily about if Georgia can develop some of these young defensive linemen, what that would do for the defense overall. And I thought one good point that was brought up is that if you can get a guy like Jalen Carter playing at an SEC level sooner rather than later, that what's coming back on this Georgia defense, namely, say, a N'Kobe Dean in the middle, can kind of run some holes, get some negative yards plays. How important is this defensive line coming up for Georgia? You got the returning names, obviously, the Trayvon Walkers, those guys, but who are these young guys that you think can step in and make that immediate difference?
So what I have said is that my wish for Georgia, and I totally acknowledge that maybe the two of you don't agree with this, maybe a lot of people in your audience don't agree with this, but my wish for Georgia has been someone other than Richard LeCount to emerge as Georgia's best player. That's not because I don't think LeCount's a fun player and a great player. I think he's both of those things. I just think if you go back and look at 2017, which was the only year in the Kirby Smart era in which a defensive back arguably wasn't Georgia's best player, that was also, I believe, Georgia's most impactful defense. And obviously, Roquan Smith that weigh on that. So I think someone from the front seven this year, if Georgia's going to be the best defense in America, the kind of defense that keeps elite offenses at bay, like the one that Georgia played this past SEC championship against LSU, whatever 2020 version of that exists, then someone from that front seven needs to emerge. I think the Trayvon Walker along the defensive line is obviously the best candidate to do that. But sometimes we talk about outside linebackers in that same vein. And between, you know, that group, it's easy to say Azeez Ojulari. It's easy to say Nolan Smith. But really, it's probably from that trio. And I guess you can also add N'Kobe Dean as the inside linebacker in this discussion, maybe make it a quartet. But from that group, I think you really need, you know, someone to step up and emerge. It did not go unnoticed by me that even though 10 Georgia players were invited to the NFL scouting combine, Tyler Clark was not. That's not a criticism of Clark. I think Clark actually had a really good UGA career. But it is something that Georgia needs to address. I think that Trey Scott's done this really well with recruiting. I think that Georgia's recruiting elite defensive linemen right now. The next phase of that is to take those recruits and turn them into top-flight all-SEC players at the defensive line position so that Georgia can kind of put itself alongside programs like Clemson, Ohio State, who I think are great at producing defensive linemen. It's time now for Georgia to take Carter and take Walker and take, you know, Jordan Davis, who I do believe has become a top-flight player, take these guys and turn them into what these other programs are doing. That's something I think to watch for the Georgia defense this year. On paper, it looks like a great defense. And the next phase of that greatness, I believe, will be to produce a front seven that's as dominant as the secondary is.
It's weird on the combine, too, as we talk to Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear every Monday through Friday, noon to one, right here on The Ref. Like you mentioned, Tyler Clark and I guess like Tay Crowder didn't get – I guess not everybody can be invited to the combine, but I wonder where they do draw the line on that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that for the guys that didn't get invited, they'll still have, you know, chances in NFL careers and a chance to make a name for themselves. And Tyler Clark's case in particular, I know he's working really hard with some personal coaches to kind of get ready and be ready to go for the draft. I'm sure Tay Crowder is doing very much the same thing. I think one of the things that you see, the program is deep as Georgia, where some guys are going to have first-round potential, other guys have a little bit different path in the NFL. I think you see how much dedication is required just to get there. Obviously, there are going to be stories every single year of guys who kind of overcome the odds to get to that spot, and I'm always really fascinated by that. I'm actually more interested in the guys who are not first-rounders and how they get to the NFL, more so than the guys, with no disrespect to Andrew Thomas, the guys like Thomas who will be a first-rounder no matter what. I think it can be really inspiring how the guys who've been told they're not good enough work to overcome the assessments of them that are out there.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, now that the 2020 cycle is over, a lot of us just kind of want to breathe out a little bit, but Jeff Sintel works 365 days a year, round the clock, thinking about the next recruit. But as we do turn that page and we all start focusing now on that 2021 cycle, Brock Vandegrift already committed to Georgia, but the list is very short right now. Who are some names out there that maybe if you don't know very well now that we think will be a household name by, say, summer or fall?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's going to make 2021 different for Georgia is I think there is going to be a little bit more of a Peach State flair to some of the guys that the Dogs really target in this cycle because I think, like a lot of years, it's a deep crop of talent in the state of Georgia. And I think you're going to see, like, linebackers come back and be a little bit more in vogue for this class after Georgia, for good reason, the 2020 cycle just didn't feel like it had a lot of holes to fill. When it comes to linebacker, one of the names that, like, immediately comes to mind for me is Barrett Carter out of North Gwinnett. There in Suwanee, Georgia. You know, this is a just dynamic playmaker at the linebacker position. It's someone from Gwinnett County, which is, I think, a very talent-rich portion of our state. I think that's one of the really big names to know. There's a lot of in-state offensive linemen. You know, you hear a lot about Mike Morris and guys like that, where, you know, Georgia's going to be looking to prioritize them. And Florian Flip. Matt Luke's going to have the chance of having a little bit more of a long-range relationship come into play, whereas for the guys that Georgia signed in 2020, a lot of those were short-term, hey, let's get to know each other pretty quick, speed-dating version of recruiting. What's going to happen with these 2021 guys? Well, now it'll be a little bit more of what we've come to expect from a normal recruiting cycle. And obviously, you know, Brock Vandegrift having a chance to have the coattails that five-star quarterbacks can have and be a little bit of a Pied Piper of a guy who wants to bring in – other guys with him. We'll be getting a chance to see what Vandegrift's recruiting personality is going to be. My understanding is Vanderbilt wants to be active on the camp circuit, wants to be out there. I'm sure he wants to make a name for himself as the best quarterback in the country. That's always a nice, you know, thing to have said about you. But in addition to that, also having a chance to make an impression on some of the guys he'd like to have join him in this class. So I think the 2021 cycle is going to be fun for a lot of UGA fans. It's going to take place a little closer to home, which, listen, I want Georgia to get the best players in yet, but I will admit that I do have a special place in my heart for those guys that do come from my state. I just think that makes it kind of fun. I think this 2021 cycle may have a little more of that.
B.A., we're talking about, I guess, the cycle and you know, always never have enough offensive linemen. I'm one of those guys that thinks that. I heard you talking with John Stinchcomb, and obviously he and his brother Matt know a thing or two about offensive linemen. Can you recap a little bit about what he was saying about what Georgia has to do, though, looking ahead to this season as far as putting the line back together? I mean, there are some guys that have played, but this is a rebuilding job on Georgia's offensive line.
Yeah, and it does. I think the one thing that John would say if he was here is, you know, a lot of that's going to center in on just how ready to compete guys like Roderick Jones and Tate Ratledge of the UGA just signed are. You know, there's obviously, you know, a lot out there about, well, Andrew Thomas started for Georgia as a freshman in 2017. You may have read at DogNation.com this week about, you know, the actual challenge of doing that beyond Thomas, who successfully did that. Kirby Smart also, you know, also downplayed the notion that someone like Jones and Ratledge would come in and be ready to go. So, you know, if that's the case, if those guys have a little bit of a longer learning curve because and the fact they're not arriving here until the summertime, then what does that mean for guys like Zay Detrust and Warren McClendon, who've been in the program, who Kirby Smart mentioned by name on Wednesday? You know, I think it was a cool thing to hear Smart mention those names, because if you're a Georgia fan, I think you've come to expect Smart doesn't talk about players willy-nilly. You know, if he mentions somebody, he's got a specific reason for doing that. So maybe a little bit of a validation that he expects Trust and McClendon to come in and compete. And if that happens, that's probably a best-case scenario for Georgia, because that means some of the depth that it's recruited for really has worked out. I think that you probably feel pretty good about the interior of the offensive line right now. It seems like there are more bodies there. The tackle spot is less proven. This is especially true once Cade Mays departed from the program, because he was probably going to be a starter for your tackle. But Jamori Salyer seems to have made a nice transition to the outside, and now you look at that crop of young guys to come in and either push the eventual starter, or maybe at some point in time, one of them becoming the starter. I think that Georgia can still have a good offensive line, but there are probably more justifiable questions about that group this year than there were in 2018 and 2019. You probably have to go back to 2017, when Georgia's offensive line outperformed expectations, by the way. You probably have to go back that far to find an offensive line that's got as many questions to start a season as Georgia's going to have this year.
B.A., glad you brought up that Kirby Smart signing day interview. One thing he said that day had something to do with, like, player integrity, sort of the quality of kid that he produces. And Kirby Smart could live to be 100. I don't think he'll ever admit that it was pointed towards Zach Evans, and that's totally fine. But you and I have both agreed on Zach Evans for a while now, that the recruitment is entertaining. But at the same time, I think you and I have both sort of said that we would have taken him if he wanted to come here. But what did you take away from those comments from Kirby? And just what does that say about, you know, this recruiting class and the philosophies that he has in place?
Well, I take what he said seriously, and I thought the way in which he said it, you know, it certainly seemed like he was ready for the question to, you know, kind of come behind the curtain. There are things sometimes Smart doesn't want to talk about. It's usually fairly obvious to see when one of those things occurs. There are also some things from time to time that I think he does want to talk about. I think he was hoping to get it to say what he said, and I will read between the lines and assume that was about Evans. I think most people probably who follow this story will kind of do the same thing. I certainly take him at his word on that, and I'll acknowledge that when you are the coach of a team, you can't put a roster together like a fantasy football lineup. In other words, you can't just think about the talent and the skill. You have to think about the chemistry and how the guys blend together. He would certainly know that better than me, you know. But with that said, given what I've known about Evans, or at least what I've, you know, believed to be true about Evans, I probably would have still taken the flyer on him, still taken the chance on him. Heck, even after all of this, if a roster spot became available, I might still take a flyer on him, because I've just been of the belief that it's not that hard to move on from a guy if he doesn't want to be, you know, going in the same direction as everybody else. I think the college football can be a transformational opportunity for the people who are lucky enough to get a chance to play it. And I'm very, very slow just want to deny that chance to anybody, even if it means going and playing for a school other than UGA. So that's kind of my feeling on Evan, and yet smart, knowing far more about it than I do, and understanding the balance of his locker room chemistry far better than I do, seems to have drawn a line in the sand, and I obviously respect him for that.
B.A., always appreciate your time. Just real quickly, I'll leave you on this. Did I hear yesterday was a nice, solid 1,200 days on that Gator Hater Updater? And are
boy,
we not?
Don't you love that? Don't you love that 1,200 days?
12. So we're not counting their 7-point moral victory in Jacksonville last year. We're going to keep this thing going, right?
No, they can keep hanging banners for moral victories all they want. We'll just collect those wins on the field.
Keep that Updater coming, Brandon. Thanks for your time, as always, and we'll catch you once again next week.
I'll be looking forward to it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, B.A. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. Noon to 1 right here on 960 The Ref, Monday through Friday. And there's...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.